What's going on, family? Welcome to Don't Talk, Just Listen, the pro wrestling podcast that is bringing back the art of objectivity. My name is Terrence Thompson. For those of you that do not know who I am, I hope everybody is doing all right. I hope everyone is safe and sound, and make sure to tell your mama to save me that big piece of chicken. Today, I wanted to discuss Sasha Banks and Naomi. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this subject, but I fear that I might, simply because of the reaction that has come from the situation. So a quick rundown of the situation. There was supposed to be a six-pack challenge to determine the number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship at Hell in a Cell. That was supposed to take place on Monday night, this past Monday night, in the main event. And the participants were Sasha and Naomi, the women's tag team champion, Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H., a brand new tag team that has been a tag team for 1 week. They've had one segment on TV forming that team, and they've been on the live event scene teaming as of recently. But nobody knows that because that's the live events. So on TV, they've only been together 1 week, and they've lost that match, their very first match together. They lost. And the other two participants in the six-pack challenge were Asuka, a singles competitor, and Becky Lynch, another singles competitor. Asuka and Becky Lynch have a little story going on, and that story just so happens to involve the actual Raw Women's Champion, Bianca Belair. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Sasha, Naomi, they're the women's tag team champions. Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H., they're obviously the next contenders in line. They're not going to win the tag titles, but they're the next contenders in line. So I guess that makes sense. Well, the problem is, it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make sense for the women's tag team champions to be in a six-pack challenge for the number one contendership for the Raw Women's Champion, who is in a program with two of the women that are in that match, and those two women are the only singles competitors in that match. Doudrop has lost like all of her matches to Bianca Belair, and we haven't seen her on TV until the segment with Nikki A.S.H. forming the tag team. Nikki A.S.H. was in the 24/7 division literally as of 2 weeks ago, and that followed her losing every single thing that she was doing. Turning heel, no one cared about it. Prior to that, people stopped caring about her, and she was dumped by her tag team partner at the time. Well, in reality, she turned on the tag team partner, but she never beat the tag team partner in a meaningful match. So, long story short, out of all six women, only two actually make sense to be in a singles-driven match. On the roster for Monday Night Raw, we also happen to have Rhea Ripley, who's in a blood rivalry with Liv Morgan. They could have been in that match. Oh yeah, that they could have been in that match to further their story going on. Carmella, she returned on Monday Night Raw. She could have been in that match. Lacey Evans, they moved her to Raw. She was supposed to be on SmackDown. They moved her to Raw out of the blue. Pun not intended. She could have been in that match, but you don't really want her to lose because she's just coming back. But she could have been in that match. Tamina, she could have been in that match. Dana Brooke, she could have been in that match. Sonya Deville, she could have been in that match. Alexa Bliss, she could have been in that match. If you catch my drift, there's a lot of singles competitors in the women's division on Monday Night Raw that make a whole lot more sense to be in that match than the tag team champions and the tag team that they're supposed to feud with. Because none of those women logically should win, because logically they're supposed to start their program. Oh, well, that's where the whole situation gets all muddied up. That's where this whole situation starts. Because it turns out the creative plans for that six-pack challenge was supposed to be Naomi, who happens to be half of the women's tag team champions. She was supposed to go on to beat one of Doudrop or Nikki A.S.H. And Naomi was supposed to go on to face Bianca at Hell in a Cell for the Raw Women's Championship. Huh. Right. Right. So we're gonna have Naomi beat Bianca, right? So Naomi can be a double champ, right? No? Okay. We're gonna have Naomi lose to Bianca Belair. And in the meantime, during the entire build between Naomi and Bianca Belair, we're not gonna do anything story-wise between Sasha Banks, Naomi, Doudrop, and Nikki A.S.H. to build up their story. Right. Also, we might be doing Sasha Banks versus Ronda Rousey, and Ronda is going to beat Sasha Banks. So we're going to have both tag team champions win matches that logically they don't need to win. They should not win. And we're going to have the tag team champions lose to the women's champion, to the singles women's champions, in a division in which there are no tag teams. They fired all of the tag teams that they had, and then they went ahead and just put a bunch of singles people together to make tag teams, and then they all lost to Sasha and Naomi, so they don't really make sense to face Sasha and Naomi anymore. And then we're going to put these two people together, Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H., and we're going to have them lose to the women's tag team champions. And then after that, we don't have any more tag teams. Right. So we're going to have the tag team champions lose to the top women's champions in both shows. And then neither Sasha or Naomi, as singles competitors or as a tag team, will have any momentum leading into the tag team story with Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. Not only will we not have any momentum, but there will be no story created until Hell in a Cell, where Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. were apparently going to interfere. I know all that sounded like a mouthful, but if you paid attention, none of that made sense. None of that logically made sense from any story. It makes no sense for the tag champions to be in a six-pack challenge for a number one contendership for a singles title, and then go on to lose with no sense of story coming from it. From the moment Naomi wins to the moment Naomi loses, there is no story between her and her partner, Sasha Banks, and Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. None. So in other words, the tag team champions are being used as fodder for the women's champion. Interesting. And in case you didn't know, people were going to bat for the WWE. People were vilifying Sasha Banks and Naomi. You have people like Brian Alvarez. Brian Alvarez spends every night ranting and raving about something new all the time with the WWE. He has something negative to say every night. He has something negative to say every afternoon about the WWE. And he came out on Tuesday, the afternoon following this whole ordeal, and he said the way that he spoke, he had no sympathy for either side, for the WWE or Sasha and Naomi. But the things that he said leaned on the side of the WWE. Because back in the day, according to him, back in the day, the tag team champions used to be fed to the singles champion. And this justifies why Sasha and Naomi walking out was stupid. You have people like Dave Meltzer trying to make it seem like Sasha and Naomi walked out because of a contract issue, like they wanted more pay. You had the WWE on Monday night, literally, I don't even think it was an hour after the news broke that Sasha and Naomi left. But within the 3-hour time frame for Monday Night Raw, the WWE came out with a statement and said that Sasha and Naomi left, and part of their reasoning why was because they felt uncomfortable with two of the participants in their six-pack challenge. Now, if you remember what I said earlier, six people, Sasha, Naomi, they're two of those people. Asuka, Becky Lynch, they're two of those people. Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H., they're the other two people. Sasha and Naomi, both as a tag team and as singles competitors, have wrestled all four women in that match. So out of the blue, both Sasha and Naomi just don't feel comfortable wrestling two of the women in this match. Not one, two. And it can't be them. So it's either Asuka, Becky, or it's the tag team that they're supposed to have a storyline with. Logically have a storyline with. Of course, WWE, they didn't name those two people, obviously. Maybe because they're trying to protect those two women, or maybe because that statement is a bunch of you know what. Maybe that statement is a bunch of BS. Maybe that statement was created in order to make Sasha and Naomi look like the biggest bad guys of all bad guys. Because at the beginning of that statement, it said Sasha and Naomi, they had 8 hours to rehearse that six-pack challenge. They had 8 hours to rehearse. They arrived to the arena and they were told what they were going to participate in on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that match was never advertised. They didn't advertise that match until Raw came on the air. Once Raw was on the air, that's when they advertised the match. They might have put it on Twitter a few minutes before Raw came out. But at no point within 7 days from this past Monday Night Raw to the Monday Night Raw of last week, at no point did they advertise a six-pack challenge. So they had 8 hours to rehearse a match that you never advertised, and they just so happened to feel uncomfortable with two of the women in that match. And not only that, they had 8 hours to rehearse that match. So within 8 hours, not once did they ever come to you and voice any concerns. It just so happens at the start of the show, that's when it all happened. Okay. So you have all of these so-called fans on Twitter and on the message boards and on Fightful.com and on NoDQ or whatever. You have all of these talking heads. You have all of these reporters and journalists saying what is or what isn't. You have these people quoting, sourcing people that they interview within the WWE. You have people saying that they interview stars within the WWE. They talk to stars within the WWE on how they felt about this situation. And those stars did not agree with Sasha Banks and Naomi. They did not agree with them walking out. Ladies and gentlemen, just for reference, one of those stars just so happens to be Otis. No shot at Otis, but Otis isn't a star that I'm going to want an opinion from on a situation like this. How about you ask Becky Lynch? Oh, that's right. Becky just so happened to be in the segment that kind of broke it on TV. That kind of broke the news. They created a segment on TV with Becky Lynch being like kind of a rat, basically, and wanting to be named the number one contender because she saw Sasha and Naomi leave the building. And I'm not taking shots at Becky Lynch, but it kind of came out that segment between her and Adam Pearce, it was thought of on the fly, essentially. But then it came out that somebody pitched the idea. Who pitched that idea? I don't know. But it just came out that somebody pitched the idea of that specific segment happening, and then Vince McMahon gave the okay for that segment to happen. That specific segment. But I'm not saying anything. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just saying what I heard. The same way Dave Meltzer says what he heard and what he hears is like 50-50 at best. I'm just saying what I heard. Don't shoot the messenger. But you have all these so-called fans just disrespecting Naomi and Sasha. I'm not going to repeat some of the things that I've seen people post, and I'm not going to repeat or describe some of the images that I've seen. But it's amazing how the same people that vilify Sasha and Naomi just so happen to be the same people that praise Toni Storm for leaving. Now, Toni Storm, she left for her own personal reasons. Reasons that made her happy. That's what you should do. She felt unhappy for whatever reason, and she left. But people praised her. People praised her for making a decision that she felt was best for her. And then it came out that, you know, like that she felt underutilized, basically, or underappreciated, but she also felt worn down, just fatigued mentally and emotionally and stuff like that, and missing home and missing family and stuff like that. A bunch of reasons that led her to the decision to just get up and leave, and people praised her for doing so. But Sasha and Naomi, for whatever their own reasons are, we still don't know, because they haven't said anything. As I'm talking, I have yet to see Sasha or Naomi come out on social media and say their truth. Everything you see, everything you've heard, everything you've read has been from WWE. Anything Meltzer and Alvarez and Sean Ross Sapp, anything that you see them report or hear them report, it has been from a WWE source, quote unquote source. People like Otis, who happens to be a superstar, we're going to get his valued opinion, because his valued opinion tells you all you need to know about how the entire locker room feels about Sasha and Naomi. Toni Storm praised for her decision to leave. She ended up quitting. Nothing that has been reported so far. Today is Wednesday, May the 18th. Nothing reported so far has said that Sasha and Naomi straight up quit. But when the news broke with Toni Storm, it was that she straight up quit. Toni Storm was praised for her decision. She wasn't called unprofessional. She was praised for her decision by fans, by those in the media, because they felt like she was being underutilized. They feel like she wasn't getting the TV respect that she deserved. On air, on Monday Night Raw, Vince McMahon told Corey Graves in his headphones. Corey Graves is a commentator on Monday Night Raw. Vince McMahon tells the commentators what to say. On air, live on air, Vince McMahon had Corey Graves call Sasha and Naomi unprofessional. On air, he buried Sasha and Naomi, and he went out of his way to do so, along with the statements that they went on to put out, another way to bury Sasha and Naomi. And they're called unprofessional. They're vilified by fans and reporters and talking heads. But I have a question for all those talking heads, all those fans, all of those reporters, all those journalists, all of those in the locker room that share the same locker room with Sasha and Naomi, all the people that say that Sasha and Naomi are your friend, all the people that used to work in the WWE who have a relationship with Sasha and Naomi, who used to be co-workers with Sasha and Naomi, and you know their reputation, you know who they are, you know their hearts, their soul, you know if they're good people or not. I have a question for y'all. How do you feel about your career? Because if you look at everything that's been reported, if you look at everything that has been talked about, has been confirmed, Sasha and Naomi, they left because they didn't agree with the creative decision regarding that match, the six-pack challenge, and what was to come following that. If you remember, earlier on, I said Naomi was supposed to win, and she was going to lose to Bianca Belair. And then, from the period in which she wins to the period that she loses, there was going to be no story evolving between Sasha, Naomi, and Doudrop, and Nikki A.S.H. So they were going to be back to where they are now. So when somebody like Mustafa Ali, who we can all agree, Mustafa Ali, one of the most brilliant creative minds in the entire wrestling biz, one of the best wrestlers in the entire wrestling biz, he asked for his release. This is a man that has a baby girl. This is a man that just had a brand new baby. He already had a little girl. He just had a new baby. He wanted his release, and the WWE would not give it to him for whatever reason. They didn't give it to him, and everybody said free Ali. A hashtag started on Twitter, free Ali. Where are those same people when Sasha and Naomi do not agree with the direction in which them as a tag team, the tag team division, and the women's division are going? Because if you believe what has been reported, what has been confirmed, it will lead you to believe logically that they left for everything but egotistical purposes. Because if I am going to win this match and have a title match, what purpose do I have of leaving unless I believe in a bigger purpose than just myself? Naomi didn't have to leave. She was going to get the spotlight. But you have to think about what comes with that spotlight. See, people want to think so nearsighted that you don't see the long game. You don't see the end game, the end result. She was going to win and then lose with no purpose behind it. So what's the point of me winning when there's nothing purposefully happening after that? Nothing for me, nothing for Sasha, nothing for Doudrop, nothing for Nikki, nothing. But the same people that were screaming free Ali for a week, where are you? Because some of you are defending Sasha and Naomi. That's no question. But some of you are also over here saying Sasha and Naomi are professional. But you also praise Toni Storm for being unprofessional. So make this make sense to me. Because you got people in the locker room that don't agree with what Sasha and Naomi said. You have people in the locker room who are vilifying Sasha and Naomi they just aren't being loud about it the way fans are and the way talking heads are being. You have people in other promotions that are making jokes about what Sasha and Naomi did. You had Matt Cardona, aka Zack Ryder. He made a joke about what if he left after a certain point in his career. Instead of just shutting up, he decided to make a joke. As if at any point in time, the situation between Sasha and Naomi is the same between him. And it never has to be, but he making it a point to compare his situation with theirs, it immediately vilifies them. It immediately invalidates their reasonings for leaving. So instead of just being quiet and going on with your career, you choose to make jokes and to compare, which immediately invalidates everything that they did and whatever their reasons were. And you think about this situation, it made me think about Jesse the Body Ventura. Back in the 80s or 90s, it was the 80s, I believe, he wanted to start a union between wrestlers. He wanted to start with the wrestlers in the WWE, and hopefully the wrestlers in WCW, they saw what they did in WWE, and then they would get on board, and then so on and so forth. And then every wrestler was a part of a union. That way, wrestlers got benefits, they got healthcare, and so on and so forth for the rest of their lives, or at least the rest of their careers. Because if you work for the WWE as a wrestler, you are an independent contractor. They have to pay their own medical insurance. Think about that. You work for a billion-dollar company. They list you as an independent contractor, but they don't treat you like an independent contractor because you actually aren't an independent contractor. Because an independent contractor can go from here to there to here to there. They can show up Monday for one company, show up on Wednesday for another company, show up on Saturday for another company, show up the next Monday for a totally different company. Independent contractors are independent. They have no loyalty to anybody. But if you work for the WWE, they say you're independent contractors, but let you try to go work for another company. You are in breach of contract. They can sue you for whatever amount of money they can. If you work for the WWE, you work for them and only for them. But you don't get the benefits that an independent contractor actually gets, which is freedom, the ability to work whenever you want to work, the ability to negotiate a certain amount of money for however many dates. And back in the day, Jesse Ventura, he wanted to start a wrestlers union because you can't be a wrestling promotion without any wrestlers. But at the same time, you cannot treat the wrestlers any way you want to. And he was trying to do something for the betterment of people back then, people the years after him, people today, people after we're all long and gone. He was trying to do something for the betterment of the entire business. And it took one person. Hulk Hogan went and snitched to Vince McMahon that Jesse was trying to start a union. And Jesse ended up leaving because Vince was all mad and tried to almost fired him and this, that, and the fourth. But that's a perfect example of it just takes one person. It took one person in Hulk Hogan. There might have been other people in the locker room that didn't agree, but it just took one person. And the idea of the betterment for the team, it evaporated. And there can never be a union as long as there's always a me versus them attitude. Because there's always going to be somebody that wants everything for themselves and nothing for everybody else. Hulk Hogan wanted that gigantic payday. He wanted that, all the rewards and limelight and awards and everything. But if he just thought about it, maybe his body wouldn't be all broken down the way it is now. Maybe so many people that have passed that used to be in the business, for whatever reason they passed, maybe, just maybe, they'd still be here. Maybe, just maybe. And I bring up the union because it only takes one. It only took one person for Jesse's idea, whatever momentum he could have created, whatever revolutionary moment in time that could have happened, it only took one person for it to never happen. It only took one person for it to stop before it could even start. It only takes one person in the locker room today to invalidate everything someone else can feel. In life, it can only take one person to invalidate any idea you have, any feeling, anything that you deem valuable. It only takes one person, and then the sheep will come. It only takes one person. Nobody knows what's going through the minds of Sasha and Naomi, but it only takes one person to say that they're unprofessional for the sheep to come and say they're unprofessional. Even though we have a long history of Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, Kevin Dunn, John Laurinaitis, we have a long history of these men doing things that only benefited what they viewed as the answer. There's a reason Charlotte Flair is always either champion or always fighting to be the champion and always going to be champion. If she isn't champion, she's always going to win the match to become the champion. Now, if you remember, back in NXT, Charlotte was not known as Charlotte Flair. She was just known as Charlotte. Then at some point on the main roster, Vince McMahon got the bright idea. Her dad is Ric Flair. What better way to validate any ideas we have for her being on top than to stick that Flair last name right onto her? So now she is known as Charlotte Flair, but she used to just be Charlotte. But when you hear Charlotte Flair and they tell you her dad is Ric Flair and she's coming out in the fancy robes just like her dad, she's doing the woo chant just like her dad, she's doing the knife edge chops just like her dad, her promos are egotistical just like her dad's, she's the queen, her dad was the man, and their whole promos, their whole character is that they're on top for a reason, they're always going to be on top for a reason. When they have the title, that's all that matters. If they don't have the title, nothing matters. You have to beat them in order to matter. It validates everything that they could have won. We have seen for years and years and years and years. We have seen for decades Vince McMahon and the people he trusts the most. We've seen them make questionable decision after questionable decision. And now people are choosing to side with Vince. He makes another questionable decision. And it's not even a questionable decision. It's just a stupid decision. Now is the time that people want to side with Vince. They want to side with Kevin Dunn. The same people that on any other moment in time, they scream at for doing something stupid. But now with Sasha and Naomi, Vince is in the right. Okay. I can legitimately make an argument. Out of the four horsewomen, Charlotte is in fourth place. Legitimately. Yet, Charlotte is the one that has been pushed the most since they've been called up to the main roster. The most title wins, the most pay-per-view matches, the most yada, 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 yada. Charlotte is the one that has been pushed the most to the detriment of the division. Because you know when she's involved, she's going to win. You know when she won the Royal Rumble, she's going to win whichever title she's coming for. She went and beat, they had her win the NXT, they had her go from main roster to NXT and beat Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Championship. Why? Did it benefit Rhea Ripley to have her beaten for her NXT Women's Championship? No. Did it benefit Bianca Belair? At that moment, did it benefit Bianca when it should have been her and Rhea for the NXT Women's Championship, but Charlotte swooped in? No, it didn't. Did it benefit Asuka when Charlotte was the one to end Asuka's undefeated streak at WrestleMania? No. Should anybody have beaten Asuka at WrestleMania to end her undefeated streak? No. But out of all the people, guess who they chose? Charlotte. There's a lot of decisions that they have made creatively and internally that have been to the detriment of the division. Charlotte versus Ronda from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, absolutely no heat. I don't know a single person that was genuinely excited for that match, that genuinely wanted to see that match. Nobody. Because it came out right before the Royal Rumble that Ronda was coming back and she was going to be in the Royal Rumble. And guess what? We all know who's going to win the Royal Rumble the moment Ronda Rousey's name is included. We all know this. And there are more talented women in that locker room. Far more talented than Ronda in ring. And absolutely more talented than Ronda on the mic. Far more. Sasha Banks and Naomi being two of those people. And yet they were overlooked for Ronda and Charlotte. Now, They became tag team champions, of course, but the tag team division is just a bunch of singles competitors thrown together. There's no real tag team in the women's tag team division. Oh, Sasha and Naomi are singles competitors thrown together. They're trying to make this tag team division mean something. They're out there getting matching gear. They're out there building chemistry in ring with tag team moves. They've created a tag team finisher, which none of the teams before them had a tag team finisher. Rhea and Nikki, they had no tag team finisher. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they had no tag team finisher. Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, they weren't tag team champions, but they had no tag team finisher. Carmella and Zelina, they had no tag team finisher. Natalya, Shayna Baszler, they have no tag team finisher. These are just a bunch of teams. These are just a bunch of singles competitors thrown together to make tag teams in order to patch together a tag team division. Oh, when was the last time the tag team titles kind of meant anything? Who were the tag team champions at the time? Let me see. Oh. Bayley and Sasha Banks. Wow. Looky there. And who were they kind of in a feud with? Oh, Asuka. Asuka, who just so happens to also have been in that six-pack challenge. So there's no way Asuka was one of those two individuals that the WWE says that Sasha and Naomi happened to feel uncomfortable with as part of the reason for them leaving, for them walking out. Wow. Process of elimination, when you look back at the history of the creative decisions that the WWE and Vince McMahon have made. The same company that did a Sasha and Asuka rivalry. The same division, or the same company that has done Sasha Banks in a feud with Nikki A.S.H., who at that time was Nikki Cross, who was a tag team with Alexa Bliss. And they were beefing, having a feud with Sasha Banks and Bayley. Oh my goodness. Another woman that Sasha just so happens to have history with in the ring on multiple occasions. And now all of a sudden she's uncomfortable with her. And just the week prior, not this Monday, but Monday last week, Sasha and Naomi had a match against who? Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. Huh. Who's uncomfortable in this situation? But that's the story that the WWE wants you to believe. The same WWE that wanted everyone to believe Vince McMahon died. The same WWE that went to the extremes of having people believe Vince McMahon died on live TV. On live TV, he made the decision to work the entire wrestling fan base by making them believe he was killed on live TV in a gruesome, fiery explosion. And if it wasn't for the Chris Benoit situation, he would have gone through with that creative decision. People were showing up and putting flowers down at Titan Towers and putting candles out and pictures. This is a man that went to the extremes of psychological and emotional attacks. People genuinely believed that he was dead. And if it wasn't for a real world crime, he would have continued to go through with that decision. So sorry if it's just so hard for me to believe that maybe, just maybe, this man who has proven he will do anything imaginable to get over on the fans, and he just so happens his trusted brotherhood in the locker room or in the suits, and Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis, Kevin Dunn, they all have their own controversial reputation. So I'm sorry if I do not immediately believe what they are wanting us to believe, with the words that they put out for us to believe. I'm sorry. They want us to believe that they don't feel that Sasha and Naomi don't feel comfortable with women that they've been working with for years. No, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. And if I did believe that, I wouldn't believe that immediately. But there is a history of Sasha Banks, a super megastar. This woman is in the Star Wars Mandalorian series. That's a quadruple bajillion dollar enterprise. She's not a actor in the series. She's a star in the series. She's a very important character in the series. She was also in the advert right before the national championship game. It was like a 5-minute, very expensive commercial that was filmed, and she was the only person in it. This is a woman that is in every sense, in every corner of the media market. Interviews everywhere with anyone. She just Kevin Hart has a Cold as Balls series on YouTube with different celebrities. Guess who's on the newest episode? Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is the biggest crossover star in the women's division in WWE. It's not Charlotte Flair, the same Charlotte Flair that has been pushed far more than Sasha Banks, but in no way is she better than Sasha Banks in the ring. No way is she more entertaining than Sasha Banks in the ring or on the mic. Sasha Banks has changed her game up more in the years that she's been on main roster than Charlotte has. But they aren't after Charlotte Flair. They aren't after Becky Lynch. They aren't after Ronda Rousey. They're after Sasha Banks. And guess who's following Sasha Banks? Bianca Belair. What do these two have in common? They're both black women. Sasha Banks, arguably the most talented woman to ever step foot in the WWE. No question, right now she's the best. You can argue between her, Bianca, Asuka, Becky Lynch, maybe. The best of the best of the best. Sasha Banks is the best of the best of the best. But not only that, she has the star power. But at no point has she been treated creatively or from a star perspective. And no way has she been treated the same way other people have been treated. And she's better than all those people. She's better than all those people. Becky Lynch, she's better than Becky Lynch. Charlotte Flair, she's better than Charlotte Flair. Alexa Bliss, she's better than Alexa Bliss. Ronda Rousey, extremely better than Ronda Rousey. But they've always put her on the back burner for people that are in no way, shape, or form better than her, because it fits their narrative, what they want to do, what their ideas of a superstar. But none of those people are in all of these Hollywood and global situations the way Sasha Banks is. And I'm going to go into more depth on that whole thing when I come out with the Roman Reigns episode that I want to do. But I'm sorry if I don't believe, if I'm not so gung-ho to believe anything that Vince McMahon and the WWE has to say about other people being unprofessional. When Stone Cold, he left because he was just burnt out. Stone Cold left because he was burnt out, and they couldn't wait to slander him. They can't wait to slander people. They can't wait to undermine other companies. But it's called the war of business or whatever. It's a dog eat dog world. He went and pilfered people from the indies so other companies couldn't hire them, and then went to release them. Never used them. If he did use them, he underutilized and just let them go. But he's the good guy in this situation. Kevin Dunn and John Laurinaitis and Bruce Pritchard, whoever else is involved in this situation, they're the good people. Immediately, they're the good people when Sasha and Naomi haven't said a word. Right, I got you. At some point, people that call themselves fans, people like Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez, who call themselves reporters and journalists, all these talking heads that have something to say, at some point, you have to learn to shut up. At some point, I would assume you have a brain, because you can't be alive if you have no brain. You can't be talking the way you are and be brain dead. It's just impossible. At some point, you have to use logic. At some point, you have to put two and two together to equal four. At some point, you have to understand that up and down are in opposite direction. At some point, you have to understand that certain things make sense. And if they don't make sense, you have to get the information to make it make sense. Otherwise, it will forever make complete and utter nonsense. But instead of making sense with the information that we don't have and the information that we do have, everybody wants to make it one narrative. Sasha Banks and Naomi are not the villains that you're trying to make them out to be. Because they want people to respect their craft. Because they want people to respect their vision. Because they want people to respect them, they're the villains. They're the villain. Jesse Ventura wanted to create a union so every single person in that locker room from then to now to the future could benefit, could have a positive way of life. He wanted a union for positive reasons, and it took one person to ruin it. It took one person to not agree that everybody should be equal, or everybody should have a positive way of life in the future when everybody is done wrestling. Instead, you have old-timers who don't know how to be old-timers, and they always want to come back, wink, wink, Hulk Hogan. They want to live on to the glory days of them being Hulk Hogan when they clearly are physically unable to do anything properly. But if there was a union, he would be able to live at home peacefully, comfortably. There are people who want their release because they are unhappy. They view themselves as being better than what the WWE views themselves. And the WWE will not release people. They will flat out not release people. When people are injured, they will freeze their deals until they are healthy, till they are cleared. Because if they don't freeze the deal, that's time wasted. That's time that evaporates. And that's time that they are paid for and all this. And that is less time that they are used in the WWE. Just imagine that. Wanting to be respected for your craft, what you're doing, but also wanting the people, wanting your peers to be respected, wanting better for your peers. Imagine wanting a union for the betterment of everyone, not just yourself. And someone who only wants benefits for themselves ruins it. Imagine not being happy with the way you're being told your direction is going to go, but also the people that you're peers with, that your co-workers with, the people that you work with, the people that you put your life and your career in their hands when you're in the middle of that ring, and you're being told that what they do isn't being respected, basically, but you're the villain because you chose to stand up for what you believed in, whatever that is. Look, man, you so-called fans, you reporters, you journalists, y'all gotta be better. I mean, sometimes there's no way you can be better because you're mentally not set up that way. But you gotta be better. The way that these two black women were treated, not were, are being treated, and it has been, 48 hours? A little over 48 hours since the incident. And from the moment go, they have been crucified for reasons that aren't even related to the situation. Being called slurs and all that. Come on, dog. And all you fellow wrestlers, both in that locker room and that used to be in that locker room with these two women, and you have negative things and negative feelings to say towards them, something is wrong with you. Because if you were in their shoes, feeling what they were feeling, thinking what they were thinking, you would have done the same thing. Whatever was going on, you would have done the same thing. How would you feel to then see and hear people that you were just in the locker room with a few hours ago, they don't have your back? Just think about that. And all you people that are in other locker rooms and you got something to say negative, how would you feel if you were put on if you were released right now? How would you feel? There have been people that have been released for the dumbest reasons, the smallest reasons ever. For 2 or 3 years, Vince was releasing people for budget cuts. When they turned around and recorded $1 billion profit so they could afford the people that they were cutting. But they released them because they wanted to. Come on now. Y'all got to be better than what y'all are. Y'all got to be better than what y'all are. But I'm done talking about it for right now. Out loud, at least. I'm going to talk about it on Twitter still. Follow me at @JustTerrence_. That's JustTerrence. _. That's on Twitter. Go on YouTube, DTJL. Don't talk, just listen. You're going to find me on there. And listen, man, don't talk about something if you don't know about it. And make sure to tell your mama to send me that big piece of chicken.